Julie Langley, and we were talking about the prostitutes on the beach.
Oh, so we arrived in Quy Nhon, and the first phrase we heard with these ladies on the beach was, "I love you too much, you buy me drink." And Betty and I said, "I don't understand quite what's going on." Well, we discovered that they were the prostitutes in town. And so I, at first, you know, moral judgment, you have to be thinking about some of this. And so we decided we wouldn't teach the prostitutes in town. Even though they asked us to have a class for them, we decided we wouldn't do that, mainly because students that were staying with us during the day, we were concerned about their families and their attitudes.
Yes, I would imagine.
So what we did was we met them at the hairdresser's once a week. And so inadvertently, one way or another, they always came and visited with us. And they were just great. The women were wonderful.
Are they trying to learn English?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Their trade. I mean, it's just like we were talking about in Power, the mm-hmm. same thing.
You can say, "I love you so much, I'd like you to buy me a drink."
Right. So, yeah.
Showing that they've been to the hairdresser.
Right. So, but and that was, as far as I was concerned, that was part of the community, and I really felt that the women were really part of the community. Mm-hmm. And I also learned that a lot of the women, in fact, had husbands and had families, and in Saigon in particular, that they had just a different lifestyle that I never would have thought about. In Saigon, prostitution, I didn't get involved with that that issue. And I never had this going out to convert, or I never had any of that kind of feeling. The reality of was when they were at the beach with us and we were trying to practice English, that was basically my time to think about the prostitutes. So.
When you think about the U.S., the whole U.S. effort in Vietnam, what do you think about when you reflect on that? What were we doing there? How it should be judged by history? What role IVS may have played?
Well, I still come away with my in terms of me with IVS, I'm really animated about that. Mm. I feel very direct about the fact that we went there to teach English, mm-hmm. and we did, and I feel really good about what I accomplished in terms of a career or with my students. In terms of the country and the war itself, my attitude has changed a great deal from when I left and went there in 62. I mean, I just didn't know about the war, and I didn't know about the people, and I didn't know about both sides and the way that the war went on and the lying, and you know, the destruction was something that we could see finally in 67.
Mm-hmm.
And so my opinions and my ideas were changing then, but I truly didn't see the war as it was until many years later.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember when Don circulated the letter?
Yes, and that was right after I left.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. What did you know what was going on before you left?
I knew that people had different opinions, mm-hmm. and were very animated about it, and the efforts that we were doing.
Mm-hmm. How did you think about it? I mean, if Don came to you with that letter and said, "Would you sign this?"
I probably would have said no.
Because.
Because I didn't feel the same way as the letter.
Mm-hmm.
I probably was influenced a great deal by my Vietnamese friends,
mm-hmm.
who were for the war, mm-hmm. for fighting the communists, and some of them still are. Actually, sometimes now, meeting with my Vietnamese friends, it's harder than it was before because they bring this up, and I have a different point of view.
They bring what up?
The war and the communists. My good friend, the family that I stayed with in Saigon, they're planning a trip to China. And my friend here said, "I'm never going to China. I don't like commies, you know." And she's the librarian. She's really well educated. And you know, those feelings are deep.
Is there anyone here who likes communists?
Right, you know.
Yeah.
And so now, actually, I have to tread really lightly with my friends nowadays.
Well, do you think that's
my
also,
Vietnamese friends.
Well, don't you think that's the wrong way of putting it in an oral history question. It's a leading question.
Well,
I mean, there are Vietnamese who are here in the United States.
They came. They gave up everything. Mm-hmm. You know, come hell or high water, they better feel that way. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I feel it's like that. Mm-hmm. Some of my friends, though, have changed like I have. But very few.
Well, you mentioned something earlier about, you know, that you didn't talk to people about the war, that wasn't the kind of thing you'd bring up. Because, you know, it was, and then we went, there was kind of an ellipsis there. I think I know what you were going to say. But what did you think IVS's mission in Vietnam was?
Teach English. Work with the farmers. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could not get anyone more simplistic. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I had seen those things happen around the world. And so I did not put the political, you do this, I'll do this, behind it. I didn't at all.
Well, you think IBS, there was much awareness in IBS about that? The point I'm trying to get at, and June and I have talked about it at length, which is that it was the conclusion, actually, that Don eventually came to, that if you're going to deliver humanitarian aid during a war, there's always going to be a perception that aid serves other purposes.
Right.
You can be ignorant of it.
Mm-hmm.
You can be aware of it, but say, who cares?
Right.
Because I'm doing something good
right
here.
Right.
Or you can say, well, wait a minute, by going along with this at all, we're contributing to the problem, not to the solution.
Right.
Most people don't fit into any of those categories.
Yeah. Well, I have friends that really didn't want to do any more because they thought they were contributing.
You mean in IVS?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I still feel just like I did before. Not that I don't want to change, but I really feel, and that's why I have such a good feeling about this. I went there to teach. I taught. And my students became teachers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I just don't feel the strings.
Well, also, and you're also very happy to go back there and teach again.
Yeah, you see, so for the sake of education, I have the same concept. Now, the war itself was a totally different issue. And I certainly, you know, again, I mean, and now I think about it, it's not just Vietnamese, I mean, Betty and Fred. Fred's military.
Right.
Fred's a little bit better than he used to be. There are two issues right now that just tear me apart from the people that I met in Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
And one is the war, and the other is the gay issue.
Mm.
And I cannot make headway with some of my Vietnamese friends in the gay issue. And it's just...
You mean Vietnamese have the Vietnamese you know here in
the States? Stigmatism. Mm-hmm. And it's just one of the most ironic things that I can, you know, because it reminds me of my Japanese who say there's no AIDS in Japan.
Right.
You know. So fortunately, with my cultural exposures to all these different countries, you know, like a lot of times I have like 17 different countries in my classroom now.
Mm-hmm.
I can see that this does go on nowadays, but I just have no way of understanding this. I mean, I just, it's today, it's the century, and I just cannot understand it. And I, especially as we get older, you know, I have this way of like, as you get older, your exposure to so much and your ideas do change. So... That's been a big disappointment to me.
Well, the next few minutes, you know, never know, soon you'll be talking to communists, too. No, I mention that because, you know, Betty and Fred obviously have very strong political feelings.
Right.
And theirs were always pro-war, and gee, if we'd only done more, we would have won.
Right.
And, of course, I love to play devil's advocate. If you say, you know, when I'm talking to an IVSer who says, we never should have gone there, and so my question is, so they should be have been communists earlier.
Right.
And I don't believe that, by the way.
No, no,
it's
but
just the question for the tape.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is what I also don't believe, which is so we should have gone in there and the opposite is.
Really.
And it's interesting that people carry that baggage around with them.
Whoa, and I called Jean Williams. Now she's the one that took my place. Mm-hmm. In Queen Anne, and because of this reunion in Florida, I wanted to get people together,
because
some people ask me, where's, Jean saw, experienced the birth of this man's daughter mm-hmm. in Queen Anne, and they haven't seen, they didn't know where she was. Mm-hmm. So fine, so I called her, and Jean is the same way, because her husband's military. By the way, an interesting anecdotal note is that Vaughn is one block away from Betty and Fred now.
You're kidding. No. Oh, that's right. Told him, and I think they were going to arrange for me to talk to him if I could, and I said, well, it's better I speak to him.
Yeah.
Because we wanted to talk to people. We do want to talk to people who were associated.
Well, he's a must. So if you get to that level, you really want to do
that.
That's right.
He said he's one block away. He mm-hmm. wasn't in town. She called.
Yeah.
She called him. I'm going to make a note of that.
Yeah.
Because I keep saying, well, what'll I do if I go back to Seattle in December?
Right.
And that's one of them.
Yeah, that's a good
because I can see the Farleys,
right?
And there was.
Did you talk
else.
To Verda and Russ?
No.
Loy.
Yeah, they had gone. How do you spell their last name?
L O Y.
Yeah, he runs an antique store.
No, that was that's the Farleys. Michael.
I called.
He's
the
into
I did
chimney.
Talk to, I talked to the. He's into what?
Chimneys. He does chimneys.
The Loys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I had spoken to the Farleys, but they were going away on vacation.
Right.
It was one of those things where we just missed them. But I think...
awesome.
Into that.
Yeah.
Well, this has been a delightful couple of hours, and I think
Mark.
I could go on for... I think we only just scratched the surface. But now that you can talk, maybe when I come back next time we can have a conversation. I'd like to have a little... free for all here.
Oh,
with
good.
Good. But thank you very much.
My pleasure, Mark.
Although you've been gracious and said goodbye,
mm-hmm.
Just as we were packing up, you wanted to show me the picture of Madame New at the barbecue, and
right.
there she is, with her gloves, black gloves. We had a long discussion about whether they were white or black.
Uh-huh.
Where she ate the hot dog, and after it was gone, she looked at her glove and went, "Eh."
Right.
Like, where did that come from?
Right.
And did someone change the glove right away?
No.
Or she just went
just
like
that?
Right. And do you think she learned the word barbecue from the IVS barbecue?
I would hesitate to say that she learned it from that.
Because, her most famous...
Oh, I know.
One of her most famous
I think she really liked barbecues. I think... No. I don't think she...
You think she knew what a barbecue was before she went to the IBS barbecue in DeLotte?
Well, I don't think you would necessarily know that this is a barbecue either. I mean, over an open pit like this. I mean, my word...
Don't ruin our research for us by confusing us with a fact.
If she'd learned it, it's these guys right here who helped her learn the word barbecue.
Barbecue. Yeah.
But I would not be, I'd be hard pressed to do that.
All right. Well, you can't say for sure one way or the other.
Right.
Oh, good.
One way or the
other. Then we'll preserve that myth
really?
For a little longer. Thank you very
much. Sure.